up, guys? Welcome in to Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. We're changing the name of this podcast to Stacking Losses because that's all the Warriors are doing these days, getting swept in a back-to-back against two pretty tanking teams and the Jazz and the Bulls, and Jazz benching Keontae George in the fourth quarter, trying to lose, and the Warriors would not let them. Bulls come back from 8 points down in the last minute and a half, and the Warriors choke that one away. Bulls, well, I'm sure, would have been fine taking a loss, but the Warriors would not let them. Brings me back to the 1990s, where it's a great timeout. Maybe they didn't bring that back, that slogan, just kind of find some extra curricular stuff going on, because the product on the court is rough. Yeah, they've snuck out a couple Rockets and Nuggets wins, kind of kept a little bit of interest peaked, but for being honest here, when there's no Steph Curry playing, there is no show. It is not a great time out. Really, the only thing I'm even remotely interested in is just kind of watching Porzingis get settled in. And Porzingis actually looked good. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later towards the end. We'll talk about the Steph Curry update that we got a little bit earlier today as well. But I just want to harp on the negative and just let's just talk about, you know, why this team is just so tough to watch. And, you know, we're doing the best that we can to stay behind this team, but in all reality is they're dropping to the back end of the play-in. They, I believe, are now in the 9 seed, which, side note, I just did a little ChatGPT math, and did you know that the odds to make it into the playoffs from the 8 seed, where you just need to win one out of two games, one being a home game if you lose that first one, is 74% chance that you're going to make it into the playoffs. The 9 seed, where you have to win two games, including at least one on the road, 24%. If you follow that 10 seed, it's like 16%. So a gigantic gap between that, really what that the cutoff really should be the 8-9 seed. And for all intents and purposes, if you're playing the Thunder as that 8 seed, if you lose your first play-in game, you're probably eliminated anyways. So I guess it's all for naught. But I guess my point being that that 8 seed is much, much three times more valuable than that 9 seed in terms of getting into the playoffs, which I think it's important that the Warriors get into the playoffs and give this team some confidence, give some potential free agents some confidence that this team can turn it around. So, yep, the wins are still important and on the table for this team. Looked like they were going to pull off a good comeback, and I forget how much we were down at one point, but in the fourth quarter, we go on a 19-2 run behind, you know, a pretty small lineup of Pat Spencer, GP2, Will Richard, and then Guy Santos and Al Horford went on a big run. That third quarter, you also had a run with, who was it? It was like Spencer, Cryer, GP2, and Porzingis with that one. But doesn't really matter because they blow that 8-point lead with about 90 seconds left to go. Cryer misses a free throw with a couple seconds, with like 10 seconds left. Draymond comes in for defense and fouls Jalen Smith, sending him to the line. Fortunately, it was not a 3-point shot, but maybe, unfortunately, it was only a 2, because then we had to play overtime where the Warriors just didn't show up, and it would have just been better had we probably just lost in regulation. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, right? I mean, the same thing as the Jazz game, in that Warriors falling in love with a 3. I get it, especially in games against better teams. You do need to knock down threes. We do have good shooters on this team now. A lot of guys that can hit threes, with Cryer being added, with Seth Curry back for the most part, with Porzingis. You know, you have shooters, but there are times where you just have to put your head down and get to the rim. And when you fall in love with a 3, you go through these droughts and you're giving up long misses, which turn into transition buckets on the other end. That's what happened every time the Bulls went on a large run. And then, yeah, it was pretty obvious when the Warriors decided to get to the paint and create and attack the rim that they had a lot more success. The bigger issue, which will continue to be an issue in the indefinite future, is just they can't stop athletic long wings, dynamic wings. Bouzelis had 41 points, just exactly that prototype, young emerging player, just jumps out of the gym. But those type of guys, the Warriors just can't stay in front of. They can't stop that penetration, particularly from the wing. Sure, some of the better point guards, you can put like a Melton on him, but Melton's only what, 6'3", 6'4". His length only goes so far. And that's just been the weakness for this team in many matchups. It's been the reason we've lost, got to what, 7, 8, 10 games this year, just not being able to compete athletically, particularly on the wing. And, there's not a lot of answers as to how you're going to solve that, even once you're fully healthy. I mean, what do you do? Are you going to, I mean, you could put Draymond on some wings, which we started doing when you have now Porzingis and Horford playing the center, Draymond at that four spot, and now you put him on Durant, you put him on Kawhi Leonard. I don't know if it works necessarily on the most athletic, quick, twitchy wings in the league, but he can play against some of the more elite, better, high skilled type guys at that position. But you can't have him doing that all the time and in every situation. I guess you could put Jimmy Butler on them in some of the situations once he's back. He kind of gives you that look, but again, he's kind of, as is Dre, that I like them floating and kind of hovering as help defenders and just kind of being free to roam and attack aggressively rather than just being glued to an athletic wing where they're working all game long just to battle. And in Jimmy's case, you're taken away from his offense in that situation. It helps that it looks like the Warriors. The Warriors do have their best rim protection now with Porzingis in the fold and Horford being a shot blocker. This is as much rim protection that the Warriors have had, maybe since Bogut. And it's been effective. Porzingis affected several shots last night. Horford, same thing. And it's nice to have that to cover up a lot of that penetration. And then you also have Draymond who can do that as well. But, it's just like how reliable and can you just always, it's not like you have Wembanyama back there where you just clean up everything. At some point, you're going to have to defend the perimeter. It's why Steve Kerr plays GP2 as much as he has. And it's not for offense, although GP2 has been playing much better offensively lately. He's there to try to keep guys from touching the paint. And I mean, he's fine at it. But when he's your best option, I mean, Will Richard may be your next best option, but he's, more of kind of a disruptor than he is an on-ball defender at this point. Moody, not great in front of the fastest, longest, rangiest wings, and he's just not even playing right now. So they are going to need to find a solution to that in the offseason, to say the least. What do you do about guarding the wing? Because same story too many times, and all the best teams in this league have really good small forwards and wings that you're going to have to keep up with. In general, the Warriors just kind of a slow, obviously they're old, but they're just like a slow-footed team. It's just like there's not a lot of team speed, and when you're trying to be switchable, when you're trying to chase teams around the perimeter, you need team speed. Yes, they can anticipate and be at spots a half step sooner, but when you're a half step slower, it's kind of like negligible. Talking like Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, those types where, yeah, you're going to compete. And in high pressure situations, you're still a good defender, unless you're fouling Jalen Smith at the end of regulation. But for the most part, you're going to need to find somebody like an Andrew Wiggins gave you, like a, no, I'm not going to even, no, I'm not going to say Jonathan Kuminga. But the potential to be what his potential was when you saw it against Anthony Edwards last year. Some length, some athleticism. On to Porzingis, 17 points, 20 minutes. I mean, not since Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have we had someone who, when his feet are set and he's that ball's leaving his fingertips, you feel that confident that it's going in. But man, that unicorn can shoot, and he shoots over the top of guys. We're starting to see just kind of the repertoire that he has, just kind of pivot, head fake, little turnaround from the elbow, anything that just creates a little bit of space where he can shoot over somebody. And that mid-range, he's deadly. And from 5 feet behind the arc, he's also deadly and gives you very good spacing. I think he plays at a good pace too. And I know once his legs get under him, now you're going to have a little bit more change of pace and that, he can kind of burst by you and, put the ball on the deck. Not exactly what he wants to do, but again, he can just kind of play at that from that triple threat position, just, see the floor well over the top of guys. Pass when it's needed. He kind of moves well off ball and sets screens well around the perimeter. And then inside the arc, once he catches it, he pretty much is commanding a double team. You've seen it, and maybe it changes once you have, Steph and Jimmy on the court. But so far, when Porzingis has caught it kind of at that block or even that elbow, the help is coming, and you're going to create an advantage without even having to put the ball on the deck, and you're creating an offensive advantage for your team, and that's how you're going to run an efficient offense when you're running through Porzingis. Little bit different than similar, but different than like when you dump it into Jimmy, because he also kind of commands help. His is a little bit almost ironically slower because he's kind of gonna have to get to a few counter moves, and Jimmy's just kind of doing his thing dancing down there. Whereas Porzingis just, as soon as he catches it, he can score from that spot if you're not sending enough pressure to disturb a shot and getting up in him. So I'm curious to see how they look when they play together. I'm pretty confident from just the limited time we've seen Porzingis. If he's on the court, this offense is going to work pretty well. Whether it's Porzingis or even Horford, just at that stretch five. And then, I'm looking forward to kind of like next year. You're going to have Draymond at that four, Jimmy at the three. But, the spacing works now because of Porzingis or Horford, primarily Porzingis. And then you have your one and two with Curry and hopefully Melton or whoever else that is. But I could see the offense working. You're seeing glimpses of it. You're going to be able to see a lot of pick and pop. And then you can also just kind of dump it in and run through Porzingis and just the different combinations. I'm excited to see it. On that note, we're going to have to wait another 10 days. Curry, another update. Same thing. Out 5 games. Reevaluated in 10 days. Sounds like he's making notable progress. But I mean, he must have been in a bad way because, I mean, it's been. What is it like 6, 7 weeks at that point now? And his knee must have been pretty dinged up to still be making progress consistently and still that far off from returning. But hopefully he'll come back and maybe what does that leave us? Like 10 games, 15 games left to ramp him up. And I don't know. Last time this happened when Steph just returned right before the playoffs, they went on and won the championship in 2022. And that's when you saw guys like Jordan Poole and some other guys kind of break out towards the end of the year. Maybe the Warriors get a little get something going so you get a little bit more breakout out of like your Gui Santoses and your LJ Criers and maybe Pajemski gets hot. You're seeing some development just from the reps from the guys. Maybe they hit the ground running by the time Steph gets back. Maybe Porzingis is healthy, and then they can get a round or two in the playoffs, or at this point, just get into the playoffs would probably be a mini victory. All right, we'll call that optimism. But come on out, enjoy the game next time. It will be a great time out, I promise you. And until then, I've been Chris Chin. Give me a like, subscribe if you can. Let's get this thing going. And not stacking dubs. No more stacking losses, guys. All right, until next time. Peace, love. Stacking dubs.